Beloved congregation, the text for the sermon is the chapter that was read together, Proverbs chapter 4. The sermon this morning comes from a series of sermons that I am preaching in Vineland that cover the first 9 chapters of this book of Proverbs. And these 9 chapters serve in a way as an introduction to the whole book, as they repeat over and over again the importance of gaining wisdom and of parents passing on wisdom to their children. Someone has commented that with chapter 4, we do not get a whole lot of new material in the chapter compared to, say, 1, 2, and 3. But what the chapter makes up for in lack of material, it makes up for with fervor, with intensity. And maybe you heard that also as it was being read together earlier in the service. The whole book, of course, is about commending wisdom. But this chapter in particular is about commending wisdom to our children. It begins already in verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. And then in verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And then again in verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Hear, hear, and attend. So 3 different times in this chapter, the father is directly appealing to and even commanding his children to listen to what he has to say. And the point every time is, I'm commending to you wisdom, son. I'm urging wisdom to you, children. Wisdom is so worth it. You need wisdom above all else. Let's remember for a moment what wisdom is. We're all familiar with the book of Proverbs generally. We know that wisdom begins with the fear of God. That's already asserted in chapter 1, and it comes throughout the book. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And, of course, that has to do with reverencing God, with respecting Him and everything to do with Him, His name, His word, His gospel, His son, His church, His service. Everything to do with the living God we are to respect and reverence most highly. And what is more, and especially so, we can say that in view of all of Scripture, to fear God means ultimately to put our faith and our trust in the Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to Him to deliver us from our sin, from our guilt, from our irreverence so often, and all that goes with it, to deliver us through His blood and righteousness, and then also to direct us in the new and holy way, through His word and by His spirit. So ultimately we can say that to be wise means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a follower of Him. And it is that wisdom ultimately that is being commended here in Proverbs in an Old Testament way, to be sure. But now with the fullness of the New Testament, we may say with great clarity, we may proclaim to our children this way of being wise. Look indeed to Jesus Christ. And this is a sermon, therefore, for all parents and grandparents among us. Do we talk like this to our children? Do we commend wisdom in this way to them? And children and young people among us, this is also a sermon for you. Every sermon is for you, of course, but this sermon in a particular way, as wisdom is being commended to you, also by way of this message, are you listening? Are you hearing? And are you becoming wise? Let's all listen together to this chapter and the teaching of it, commending wisdom to our children, to you children who are among us. 4 points altogether. And then at the very end, 2 applications, closing applications. And so we'll go through the 4 points that exposit the text, and then we'll sing, and then we'll have the 2 last applications. So commending wisdom, first of all, very personally. And we say that because what we have here in this chapter is a father, and what is he doing? He is talking to his son, to his children. So he speaks very generally, hear children, and then he also speaks very specifically, hear my son. And the point is to understand that this is a very personal way of commending wisdom. Fathers talking to their children. Mothers too, of course. Whenever a family has both a father and mother, as can be also in our case many times what we enjoy, the privilege of that, of God preserving fathers and mothers together in marriage and in life. But in so doing, it needs to be a team effort, doesn't it? The father, though, taking the lead and his being the responsibility above all. Doing this with their children, talking together. And it's so personal. It's dads and moms with their children saying to their children, look, see, wisdom. You need to get wisdom. Notice too how the father in verse 3, in this context, he recalls his own training, his own teaching. Because he says to his children in verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender, or you might say impressionable, open to teaching, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, he taught me also and said to me, and then we get the summary of that teaching. So of what the father's father said to him and what he is now passing down to his children. And don't we have to say, when we think about that, what a blessing it can be when through the generations, truth is passed down from father to son. When as dads we can say to our children, for instance, listen, let me tell you what my dad taught me. He taught me the way of wisdom. When I was a young boy, he taught me to fear God. He taught me to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he taught me. In fact, I can even tell you what he said, the way he spoke. I can tell you about how he sat me down, how he looked me in the eye, as it were, and he said, I want to talk to you about something so important, so serious. And he did that all through my growing up years. Isn't it true? What a blessing when that can be the way it goes. And no doubt also among us, how many of you have had fathers and mothers too, who have been like this father here, who have said, hear my children. And by the grace of God, we then did hear. And now we with our children may say the very same things. Hear, children. Hear. Or if we didn't have fathers like that, if we have no history of being taught the faith from our parents, then how important to start that today, and with us and with our children and with the next generation. If there has been no chain of father to son up till now, today is the day to begin that chain of father to son, commending wisdom so personally to our children. Are we a church? Are we families who do this and who keep on doing it? You know, not saying that's what the school is for, or that's what the church is for. Well, of course, school and church are vital parts of it, and they help so much, obviously. But parents are the front lines. And the personal connection is the most important, is the way God has designed it. So commending wisdom to our children, first of all, so personally. Second of all, so passionately. So passionately. And doesn't this come out in the language of the text? I mean, how intensely, how forcefully even the father speaks to his children. If you just notice, for instance, how many times he commands his children. He commands them. More than 35 times in this chapter. More than 35 times we have direct, specific directions, commands from father to son. So he says things like, hear, attend. Forsake not. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commands. Love wisdom. Get wisdom. Embrace wisdom. Take fast hold of wisdom. You see, he goes on and on in that way. He's giving direction. He's passionately commending wisdom to his children. Passionately so. What I wonder is if this is a challenge to any of us. Especially also now to fathers and mothers. Are we passionate in commending wisdom? It's worth asking the question because the culture around us is not passionate about commending wisdom to our children. The culture that's all around us is very much against any intensity, especially with religious instruction. We're not allowed to make any choices for our children these days, not even gender choices, if that is even possible. But especially religious choices. The prevailing mindset is to let children make up their own minds. Just lay before them all the options as best as possible and expose them to as much as you can. And as they grow, they'll find their way. They'll choose what works for them. They'll decide according to their own preference and heart. Whatever you do, parents, it's the culture's mindset. Don't pressure them. Don't teach them. Don't command them to fear God and to believe in Jesus Christ. So that's the culture. That's the world in which we live. And we need to ask ourselves, to what extent do we embrace that mindset? Do we somehow begin to think in those ways? Even unthinking, unconsciously so. And let's recognize that that whole way of thinking comes straight from the devil. And it's a subtle and it's a pernicious effort for him to undermine the covenantal instruction of our children. God calls us to teach our children diligently and to teach them intensely. And is it not true that if we have any sense of our responsibility and any understanding also of what hangs in the balance of the destiny of our children, then we will never be indifferent to this point of wisdom. We will never have the mindset of, well, find your own way, son. Find your own way, daughter. No, we will be passionately commending biblical wisdom to them. Now, having said that, just to be clear, the idea is not that we then pound wisdom into their heads if we can. It's possible, perhaps, that parents can misunderstand this point and become too intense with their children. It's possible that they can start to think that maybe by force of words they can change their children's hearts, and we know that that's not possible. We know that we need the Holy Spirit. We need that sovereign and mysterious and almighty work of God in them. And yet at the same time, isn't it true that the Holy Spirit uses means? And those means include especially fathers and mothers who care deeply about their children's souls and who see the supreme value of biblical wisdom and who therefore make it their passion in life also to commend that wisdom to the generation for whom they are responsible. So we say to our kids again and again, this way, this is the way. This way, kids, come with us this way. Commending wisdom to our children personally, and then also passionately, and thirdly, so positively. So positively. What does that mean? Well, maybe you noticed when we read all the commands, how many of them are so positive in focus. So positive. Or to say that another way, in commending wisdom to the children, the father in this chapter, he doesn't focus predominantly on what not to do or where not to go or with whom not to be. He's not all about don't do this and don't do that and don't do the next thing. Of course, he has some of that in there, especially when he talks about the wicked. But by and large, the focus of the father is on positive commands. And so he is saying things like hear and attend and embrace and love and take fast hold. Isn't it true that we can be very discouraging sometimes to children if we're only telling them what they may not do? If we're only saying where they may not go? If the whole focus in parenting children is to say no, 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 and no. Well, there's a place for that, of course. But in balance to that, let there also be positive and many positive commands. So let us not only say that's the wrong way, but let us also say, and this is the right way. This is the good way. This is the wise way. Walk in this way. Live this way. You see, positive commands. The Father is teaching us by his own example. So we don't read those books, kids, but we read all these other books. And we don't play those games, or we don't get involved in those things, but we may do all these many other things. And we don't talk in this particular way or that way, but we talk purely and we talk kindly and we talk wholesomely. We don't seek idol gods. There are so many idol gods we can go after, but we don't go after idol gods. We seek the true God. We look to Him, to all of His beauty and glory, and seek to be delighted in Him. Let us go to Him, children, and trust in Him, and give ourselves to Him. So that's one thing in terms of commending wisdom so positively. We focus on positive commands. And likewise, and even more, focus on the blessings, the infinitely positive blessings of wisdom. I wonder if the Father here is, in a way, a healthy challenge to us as we train up our children and train up our generation coming after us in the way He commends wisdom. I mean, He takes this even into another sphere, as it were. Verse 6, for example, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Do our children hear from us that we really believe it is so good and so blessed and so rewarding to know and serve the living God? Do they understand from us, from our life, from our talk, from our example, from our priority, that this is our greatest delight above all, to be Christian? Verse 8, "Exalt her, lift her up, make her the highest, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her." Verse 12, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, or you will not stumble," as it were. Yes, and when you run, you will not stumble. It's so positive, isn't it? To say and to emphasize again and again, listen, the way of wisdom is not the way of bondage. The way of wisdom is the way of freedom, is the way of blessing. In a way, that all comes to a powerful climax in verse 18 and 19, when the Father sets before His children this incredible contrast. This contrast between the just, or the wise, and the wicked. First, He speaks about the wise, or He refers to them as the just, because true wisdom leads to a life of justice. And He says, "The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." This morning was quite cloudy and dark, still is, but many of these mornings, if you're up early, you see how it's so light already, so early. And yet there's no sun. There's no sun, but eventually the sun comes. And it begins to fill the world with its all-glorious light. And the Father is saying, that's what it's like for those who live justly and rightly and purely. That's what it's like when you live wisely. You live in the light. And you live in the light in such a way that it only gets lighter. What He means is that when you live wisely, you live with clarity and conviction and confidence and courage. And those things only grow and make your life so bright and so beautiful. Meanwhile, in contrast to the just, we have the wicked. And the way of the wicked is as darkness. And you know that word darkness is the same word that is used to describe the darkness that came in the plague on Egypt. The 3 days darkness that cloaked Egypt and really immobilized Egypt. They couldn't see their hand in front of their eyes. They were afraid to get up from their seats. The darkness was so thick and so heavy. And the way of the wicked is like that. It is darkness. They do not know at what they stumble, He says. In other words, when you are wicked, when you give yourselves over to foolishness, which is what you do when you reject God and His ways, then you are really saying, I will be purposely and willfully and hopelessly blind. And I will consign myself to a life of wandering around, tripping up all over the place, and not knowing where I'm going or what I'm doing or even what sense I'm making. And how often we see this in the world. When people who have given themselves over to wickedness are in the media, and they just make no sense. And you think about the pro-choice argument, for example, and the way people so arrogantly and vehemently and even irrationally argue for the murder of preborn children, even up to full term. And you think, how in the world can they even believe what they're saying? Well, they are blind. They are the way of the wicked. They don't know at what they're stumbling. They're just making fools of themselves. And so many do that. Indeed, all the wicked, and giving themselves over to sin. And so the Father, he's putting up this contrast. He's saying, see my children, see the way of the wise. See how bright it gets. See the way of the wicked. See how dark it gets. Darker and darker. And so he commends wisdom personally, passionately, positively, and then also lastly, particularly, very particularly. And here we can notice three things quickly. For instance, how direct he is with regard to wisdom. He doesn't just talk about it or talk around it, but he commends it very directly. Early on in the chapter already, verse 5, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. What do we tell our kids? Get a good education. Get a good job. Get a nice place to live. Get a good spouse, a faithful wife or husband. Well, all those things have their place. Do we tell them to get wisdom? How direct the Father is. How specific the Father is. How particular he is. The second thing is when he's commending wisdom is he's very particular with warning about the wicked and wickedness. This comes out especially in verse 14 through 17. And I want to highlight the verbs, for instance, in verse 14 and 15. Listen carefully to the Father when he says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. 6 times he gives a warning. He's intense. He's particular. And he's saying, they, the wicked, represent a danger you don't even want to begin to play with. Well, what are these wicked people like? He describes them in 16 and 17. They sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. Do we believe that there are people like that in this world? Wicked and dangerous people whose whole purpose in life is to hurt others and destroy others. Whose entire existence is framed around this focus of making others stumble, making others fall. You know, think of the bully in elementary school, say, who likes tripping people. And if he's not corrected, if he's not converted, he grows up. And he's not just tripping people, he's destroying people. And he takes pleasure in it. And there are people like that in this world. People who have been described by someone as evil-holics. People who are addicted to evil. Of course, evil's in us all. And the seed of every known sin is in us all. But here, the Father is warning about people who have given themselves over to that in such a way that they are just pure danger. Pure danger. And we may know those people. We may meet those people. We may have to work with those people. We may meet them in person. We may meet them online. And the warning that the Father is giving here is to his children, don't even start with them. Don't even go with them. Don't even listen to them. Stay altogether away from them. How can I make you understand that if you even start to talk to them, you might get yourself into trouble in a way that you will never be able to come back? We might say today too, don't click on that invitation. Don't accept that text message. Don't type that address into your browser. Don't even start the conversation, because the wicked are dangerous. And they can influence you, and they can take you away. Let's just remember what Eve did when she was in the Garden of Eden. And Adam with her. And everything started with a conversation. Just a conversation with the serpent. And it ended up being a very brief conversation. And before Eve knew it, she was taking the fruit and rebelling against God. And for how many that's happened, and they're gone. And that's the danger that evil and wickedness represent. They're not neutral forces. We don't live in a safe world. We live in a conflicted world. And we live in a world where there is so much that is conspiring to take down the people of God and to take away the children of the church. And the only way for us to resist is to reject them from the very start. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And then there's the last thing the Father mentions, and that's in terms of being particular, and that's his whole point about now. So get wisdom and watch out for those people. But now let me talk to you about yourself, he says. Verse 23, guarding your heart. By heart, in Hebrew, the word for heart is not just your physical heart, of course, or even your spiritual heart. Well, it is your heart, but it's also your mind. It's your thinking. Your thinking and your feeling, really the core of who you are. And now the Father is saying, listen, I want you to keep your heart. I want you to keep it with all diligence. In all your keeping, you keep so many things. I mean, you keep your strength, you keep your health, you keep your friends, you keep your reputation, you keep your job. You need to keep your heart. You need to guard what you think about. You need to be watchful over the priorities of your heart. You need to have an eye, a watch over your affections. You know, do we know what we really care about? Do we know what is most important to us? And do we guard that? The pursuit of wisdom is in many ways right there in our heart, and whether or not we guard it. Keeping out what distracts us and feeding and nurturing it with what is true and good. But then come some other things. For example, verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. You could also translate a deceitful mouth, a lying mouth. And put perverse lips far from thee. Isn't it true we can get into all kinds of trouble, young and old, with our mouth? Telling lies often is how it begins. Little lies. But little lies always lead to bigger lies. And eventually constant lies. If we're a little dirty in our mouth, if we're crude and rude with our words, bad words maybe, harsh and mean or cutting with our speech, well, how unwise that is. How dangerous that is. That only takes us down. We need to stop it. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And then our eyes, verse 25. Interesting how he refers to our eyes, but we all know how we can sin with our eyes, can't we? Restless eyes, greedy eyes, covetous eyes. Through our eyes we can sin, and sin with our eyes usually leads to sin, more sin in our lives. And then there is our feet. Do we think about where we are going, the path we are on? How we are walking. Pick up your feet, we say to our kids. But that's not enough, is it? Walk in the right way. Walk with a true step. Walk with integrity. Really, what it comes down to is this Father, and he's an example to us all, and he's saying to his children, be careful. Oh, be careful with your heart. Oh, be careful with your mouth. Oh, be careful with your eyes. And with your feet. Well, we all have to be careful, don't we? Who doesn't have to be careful? As parents, as adults, we need to be practicing this ourselves and reflecting it in our life. Let us not only commend wisdom, but let us be pursuing wisdom and practicing it ourselves. And then also to our children, warning them and directing them. So, personally, passionately, positively, and particularly, that's the teaching of the chapter. And we'll go to the application. But before we do that, let's sing together. Psalter number 322, all the stanzas. Commending wisdom to our children. You could hear that in this chapter. Various points about it. And now, in terms of how do we respond and what do we do with the teaching that's been set forth to us in this Word of God. And the applications are two this morning. One, the first one for all parents and grandparents, for all aunts and uncles, for all of us who are older and in relation to the new generation in this congregation. Here it is. Let's do this. Let's do this. I mean, let's be commending wisdom to our children, like in this chapter. Let's live so as to be able to say, like the Father says in verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. How good when that can be the legacy of our lives, when that can be the legacy of our generation in relation to the one coming after us. And that's not to say, of course, that we can, any of us, be perfect parents or teachers or models. I'm in the throes of this myself, and with a young family, very aware of many shortcomings. Isn't it true that basic to all wisdom is that we don't point our children to us. We point our children to the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is in many ways wisdom incarnate. He through whom we may receive all the forgiveness that we need. And we all need forgiveness. And so what we end up doing is we say to our children, look, here's wisdom. He is wisdom. And will you not join us in seeking him? And if they won't, we will weep for them. And we will pray for them. And maybe too we can point to some of our own faults along the way. Every parent is full of faults, but if God makes us wise, can he not also make them wise? Even if it be long into their life, even late into their life. But the main point is to say, parents, and all of us who are older, if not already, starting today, let's do this. Let's be all about this, commending wisdom, embracing wisdom for ourselves, and commending wisdom to our children. What a great calling. What a great privilege. Is there any father or mother among us who needs to start this? Is there any family? Is there any parents here who know that there are things in your family life that need to be addressed? Maybe that hindrances to commending wisdom, obstacles in this commendation of wisdom. Things like maybe not spending enough time together. Or maybe allowing too many distractions to come into family life, into children's lives. Media and other things, for instance, not carefully overseen. How easy it can happen, too, that we are busy, busy making it in this life. And we all have responsibilities, to be sure. But the time frame for commending wisdom is relatively short. Is there anyone even of us who are older who need to become wise still ourselves? Oh, if so, seek it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing for life, for youth, for adulthood, and for eternity. So that's the first closing word to all who are older among us, as older generation. But the second is for children. And for young people, it's really a simple application. Let me put it in terms of a question. Are you, children, young people, are you listening? Are you listening? I mean, as parents and as congregation, we commend wisdom to you. We do so in so many ways. But are you hearing? As we live with you and train you and seek to nurture you in the fear of God and in faith in Jesus Christ, are you listening to that? Are you attending? Are you taking firm and fast hold of wisdom? How glad it makes us as families and as church when we may see evidence of that, when we can witness that. In the New Testament, in the third book of John, John writes at one point and he says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And every set of godly parents understands that and seeks for that. No greater joy, no greater joy than to know that our children listen and seek to live in the fear of God. Is that how you are living, children? Is that how you are seeking to live, young people? Is it possible that among us, I really don't know, but maybe among you, there are some of you younger ones who are not listening. Who are not hearing, who are not walking in truth, who are not becoming wise? Is it possible that among us also there are young ones, younger ones, who are closing their ears to the words of wisdom, to the words of life? You need to stop that. You need to know that if you keep doing that, you will end in hell, guaranteed. The father here is so concerned for the welfare of his children, he keeps on saying, hear, hear, hear. Yes, hear, he says in verse 10, and the years of your life will be many. Do you know how many? So many, in fact, they will go on even forever. Endless years for all who hear and who receive the words of wisdom and wisdom himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Endless years of life and glory and blessing is all for the wise, but it's only for the wise. Hear then, children. Hear. Amen. Let us pray. We come to you, O Lord God, to confess. You are the only wise God. We are all by nature so foolish, simple and foolish even, in our sin and in our rebellion. How great of you that you have given your Son, and that he may be our wisdom, that you have also come to us with your word and said to us, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, he becomes your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, when through the generations of teaching also we may be a church and individuals, many of us who confess to have been made wise and even now to be more and more wise through the blessing of your Holy Spirit. It is all your grace from beginning to end. And yet you have used that faithful teaching, that covenantal, generational teaching. We thank you for fathers and mothers who have been steadfast, who have persevered, have come to us again and again and said, hear, listen, get wisdom. We pray that we, who are now a generation in charge of a new generation, that we may be faithful as fathers and mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers, aunts and uncles, as congregation, with the trust that you have given us. We pray that we may be faithful. It is not always so easy. There can be many distractions. We can get so busy with other legitimate things. But we pray that we always may remember that wisdom is the principal thing. And therefore, to our children, we will commend wisdom to them. And make our children to hear, O Lord. Make all our children, all our young people to hear. We know that it is ultimately of you when they do hear. And so we plead for your faithfulness, for your covenantal faithfulness, for your regeneration work in their hearts. We have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. Lord, that is also our confession, and that motivates our life. And we pray that we may rejoice again and again. Be with children who have grown up in this congregation and who have walked away. Hear the cries of parents as they agonize before you for their lost adult sons and daughters. O Lord, yet have mercy. O Lord, remember your covenant. Thank you for the opportunity that we could have this morning to be under your word and to worship you. Forgive whatever was sinful. Bless us further in this day, our fellowship, our rest, and the opportunity to worship again this afternoon. Forgive all our sin. Keep us from sin. And hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, the Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.